First Things First, Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. America, settle something for us. Every morning right before we come on the air, we have a discussion. To wear or not to wear a tie. Kevin Wilds has been pushing for a tie. Nick is holding strong.
I'm going to wear a tie
no
tomorrow.
Tie. And every morning, Nick wins. So Wilds is going to wear it. Is that what we're doing? You're wearing a
Wilds
tie tomorrow?
Wilds can wear whatever
What's
he
wrong,
wants.
Nick?
Yeah.
He wants everyone on board, tomorrow. Nick.
I
he wants
we
a uniform.
Friday
with the tie.
One for all.
Oh,
all for one. We'll do it casual
going
Friday.
Chest hair,
no,
Brandon?
We're not unbuttoning. You know what? Let's just dive into the show. That was my mistake. My mistake. I went somewhere I shouldn't have. Let's start in the NFL. Packers and Bucks this weekend. It's America's game of the week. It's Sunday. It's on Fox. It's going to be a doozy. Both teams coming into the season with Super Bowl aspirations, but only one really looking the part, and that would be the undefeated Green Bay Packers. Green Bay's offense averaging a league best 38 points per game. The Bucks offense averaging like 4 or 5 downs per possession. Whatever. Sorry, Tom. Packers, Bucks,
yes.
Rodgers, Brady.
Yes,
Nick, let us start with you. Who is this game more important for heading into Sunday?
I don't think this is the mainstream opinion here, but I would argue it is far, far more important for Green Bay. Because Green Bay is fighting for something I believe to be more realistic and more important for them than the Bucs fighting for a divisional title or a playoff spot. Green Bay is fighting for the one seed, and I am going to continue to hammer this point because it is a change the NFL made that I believe to be a massive, drastic change. And we know they made it, but we haven't seen the real implications of it, which is the expansion of the playoffs, which has led to the contraction of the number of byes. Only having one bye makes the one seed more valuable this year than any year in NFL history. And in the NFC, I would argue, it's even more valuable than that because it's not only that you, with the one seed, you would get the only bye, but you also would be on track to be in your first playoff game. Who would you play? The 4-5 winner, most likely, which means the NFC East champion, if you even want to call them that, or a wild card team because that's how the bracket would be set.
Yeah.
So if you're Green Bay and you see what Brandon's guy, Russell Wilson, is doing it cross country in Seattle, and they're still undefeated and they're putting up record breaking numbers and they're calling DK Metcalf Jerry Rice. Every single game isn't a must win, but it almost is. Because I think you're going to need 13 wins minimum, Brandon, to get the one seed. I think the one seed this year is such a massive advantage over the rest of the field.
Maybe
I'm
going to
say
14.
This game is more important for Green Bay. Yeah, 14. You're right. I mean, a minimum of 13, Brandon, and
right?
maybe 14.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what, Jenna? I think this is equally important to both teams for two separate reasons. When you look at the Green Bay Packers, they're trying to separate themselves from the pack. They're trying to separate themselves from the entire NFL. They're, like what Nick said, they're playing for something different. There's something to be said about going 5-0, 6-0. 4-0, we see this a lot. We see this every year. It's hard to turn on the tube come week 6, week 7, and see someone standing undefeated. So they're trying to separate themselves. And then when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're trying to separate themselves from the division. You got the Saints at 3-2. You got the Panthers at 3-2. And they're trying to get what the Green Bay Packers have, and that is mojo. So, Wilds, I don't know how you look at this, but this is going to be a really good game. This is the number 2 offense going against the number 2 defense. It's must-see TV.
You know what I think is interesting, Brandon? If you're a Packers fan and you love Aaron Rodgers, aren't you rooting for a Packers blowout? Because if you're Aaron Rodgers and you drafted Jordan Love, you went on Kyle Brandt's podcast, and you're like, I kind of wanted to finish my career here. You're looking across the field, and you're like, huh, how's that guy going? He was with his career, his whole career with one team left. And I think if the Bucks get destroyed, Aaron Rodgers has a better chance of staying in Green Bay. Because I think it looks like he's like, Favre was kind of up and down, had some good moments with the Vikings. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl. That's good. Joe Montana, they're pretty good with the Chiefs. Drew Brees is not going anywhere. But if I look across the field and I see Tom Brady just getting waxed, 35-0, I might say, you know what? I'm going to try to make this Packers thing work, Jenna. I don't really want to leave. This really put a shock into me. So I think it's big for the Packers this year and for beyond, for Aaron Rodgers' career, that we're going to look back at this game as a turning point to what he decides to do in a few years.
All right, so then let me ask it this way, Nick.
Extremes.
Let me ask you this, Nick. What do you think is more likely, that the Green Bay Packers make it to the Super Bowl or that the Bucs don't even make the playoffs or miss the playoffs?
No, I understand. I would say barely it's more likely the Packers make the Super Bowl. For the Bucs, this is how the Bucs got to look at it. I know I was talking about how there's seven teams that make the playoffs, but one of those seven is going to be the winner of the NFC East, so put them in their own category. Then you've got the other 12 teams, the teams in the West, the South, and the North, those 12 teams competing for six spots. There's currently eight of those 12 that are above 500. Those teams are Arizona, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Saints, the Bucks, the Panthers, Green Bay, and Chicago. So if you're trying to figure out which two teams are going to be on the outside looking in, I think most people would say, well, Carolina is probably not going to get there. And then who is the other team on the outside? Arizona's look shaky. I believe in Chicago, but I don't think many people do. Right. Now, most people don't believe in Chicago. I happen to believe in Chicago. I think they got a good coach. I think Foles will be a big upgrade eventually over the course of the season from Trubisky. But it's those teams, Arizona, Carolina, Chicago, and Tampa. Those four teams, to me, are competing for two spots. I think it's more likely the Bucs get left out of one of those spots than the Packers don't make the Super Bowl this year. Because I think the Packers are competing with one team right now for the Super Bowl, and that's the Seattle Seahawks, Brandon.
Yeah, Nick, you took the words out of my mouth. You know, when I look at those seven games, those seven teams that make the playoffs now, it's more likely that the Packers, you know, they'll make it to the Super Bowl. I think, Nick, it's the Chicago Bears. I'm not believing in them. I think that, you know, this division could easily have three playoff appearances from these teams. And that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's the Saints, and obviously the Carolina Panthers. I just don't believe in the Chicago Bears, man. This team can easily be 1-4. So I think that's the odd team out.
All right, Packers and Bucks this Sunday on Fox. Must watch TV in the NFC. We got some must watch football in the AFC as well. How about a little Browns, a little Steelers? Big Ben versus Baker next. First things first. Gearing up for their biggest matchup in like 200 years, it seems like. Browns coming in at 4-1, first time since 1994 when Belichick was at the helm. Steelers 4-0 for the first time since 1979, a few years before I was born even. Head coach Mike Tomlin ready for a battle in the burg, delivering this Tomlinism, quote, "We love being in the kitchen, and AFC North ball is in the kitchen. It's hot in the north." Well, Tomlin's not kidding. It's crowded at the top of the AFC North. You got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, all with four wins, which makes Sunday's game that much bigger. So, Brandon, I'll start with you. Which team you think more likely to dethrone the Ravens as AFC North champs, Browns or Steelers?
Well, who do you trust more, Jenna? I'm going to ask you the question. Baker Mayfield or Big Ben?
Steelers.
Oh no!
Anyone?
Exactly.
Baker. You know my answer.
Nick, you laughed at me Baker when we previewed the NFL season. When I said that the Steelers are going to make it to the Super Bowl, you laughed at me. Yep. I think you owe me an apology.
I'm still laughing. No. I still think it's a bad take.
You're not a believer.
It's a great take.
Listen, for 25 years, their identity hasn't changed. They're a power run O, and they're a zone blitz D. They haven't changed at all. Now you have a Big Ben who's healthy, and he's playing lights out. 10 touchdowns, one pick. The only thing we're waiting on the offensive side is the deep ball to drop. He's playing bad in that area. 4 for 17, 20-something percent. But when that deep ball drops, it's over for the NFL. Connor's averaging 5 yards a carry. And then on the defensive side, they're third in the NFL. They're first in sacks. This defense is balling. They do got to clean up a few things. They got some little gaps in the secondary. But this team is really good. I think that it's their division. Lamar Jackson, obviously, it's scary. If that passing game gets rolling, then we can change the conversation. But until that passing game get rolling, I'm going with Big Ben and this Pittsburgh Steelers team, Wilds.
Okay, listen, I've got no problem. Sorry, Wilds. Let me respond to that real quick. I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong if I end up being wrong. And if you end up being right on the Steelers, I will admit that. But I think right now they're more likely to finish third in their division than finish first in their division. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. But for the audience, This is a show that has a deep commitment, if to nothing else, to take integrity, which is why it is a little curious. I was just thinking about this. Wilds, Brandon, and I all gave our Super Bowl picks this year. And Wilds, who's from the greater New England area, picked the New England Patriots. And me, who's from Kansas City, picked the Kansas City Chiefs. And Brandon, where are you from again? People, I don't know if they know. Where were you born? Huh? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you grow up, buddy? Where are you from? Oh, he's from Pittsburgh. And he's got Steelers. Yeah, exactly right. And he's got the Steelers going to the Super Bowl. All right. Here is the reason why I am not yet Wilds buying the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to give you four names. Giants, Broncos, Texans, Eagles. Those four teams are combined 3-15-1, and that's who the Steelers' four victories have come against. So now you only can play who's on your schedule. You got to play who's in front of you. But I would posit, Wilds, there are a lot of teams that could be 4-0 if they were going up against those four teams. So I need to see more from them, and they can show it starting this week. Their next three games, Cleveland, Tennessee, Baltimore. So they've got a three-game stretch where they can prove me wrong.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen. Oh, go ahead. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Cleveland's record, okay, is they're sick. The teams they beat are 6-9-1 combined. So if you want to use stats, Nick, because you use numbers to tell your story. Okay?
Yeah.
6-9-1. That's the combined record of the teams that the Cleveland Browns beat.
Yeah, that's a hell of a wild 6-9-1. I mean, that seems like the 72 Dolphins compared to 3-15-1. I mean, it's just, at least, I mean, one's got double the victories. I mean, it's a big difference there. But go ahead, Kevin.
Brandon, I know everyone, I think the media is trying to play it up and the players are trying to play it down besides Kareem Hunt. Mike Tomlin's like, it's not a big deal, the Myles Garrett thing, you know, it's not a big deal. Freddie Kitchens is still probably wearing his Pittsburgh started this shirt. But so it feels to be a media narrative and not necessarily a player narrative besides Kareem Hunt, who says like, hey, this one's for Myles. I think whether or not they want to admit it, Myles Garrett, who leads the NFL in pressures, wants to come out and have a massive game. Massive game. The idea that this is forgotten or it's not like in the forefront of his mind, I think is just foolish. I think he's going to come out and try to like, not bop anybody on the head.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to have the best game of his career. And if I were you and Steelers, I would be very nervous about him getting to Big Ben and causing just wreaking havoc on your offense.
It's media driven. I mean, if Mason Rudolph was in there, then it's a different story. Yes, let's talk about it. If that was Big Ben, then yes, absolutely. That was their third string, fourth string quarterback. If that was Big Ben and that happened, then I don't care how long, how much time has gone by. When Myles Garrett takes the field against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you best believe that offensive line is going to get after him. So if Mason Rudolph was playing, then it would be a different story. But this is all media driven.
All
right, let's take a turn now. What had LeBron and the Lakers just laughing at the Clippers while they were in the bubble? I promise you're going to want to hear this. We'll tell you
everything
next. First things first. Sunday on Fox, it's a showdown for the ages. Aaron Rodgers leading the undefeated Packers against Tom Brady in the Bucs. It all kicks off Sunday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area. All right, let's stick with that big game there, that marquee one, the Packers, the Bucs. Both teams coming into this season with Super Bowl aspirations, but we're 5 weeks in. Only one team appears to be heading in that direction, and that would be the undefeated Packers. Green Bay offense averaging a league-best 38 points a game. The Bucs offense not averaging that. Tampa coming off a tough loss, both to the Bears and to the four-down rule. Packers, Bucs, Rodgers, Brady. You know who knows a thing or two about the Packers? Mr. Greg Jennings. Greg joining us now. Greg, who is this game more important for, Rodgers and the Packers or Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucs?
It's Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's easy. It's not even close. When you look at these two teams, defensively, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they look really good. This is why they are 3-2, to be honest. Their offense has sputtered. Their offense has been average. And Tom Brady has been average. And you look at the other team that they're facing, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Offensively, they've been lights out. He's thrown all over the field. No turnovers offensively. So they're taking it full advantage of every possession that they get. And you look at this rushing game, they're averaging over 150 rushing yards on the ground, something that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are very stingy about. So that's where the game will, I believe, be won defensively. I give the edge to the Green Bay Packers simply because you're dealing with a non-mobile quarterback and with a team that can apply pressure on a quarterback that has struggled when we've seen him under pressure this year.
So in other words, you know, as far as the Bucs, in Greg's opinion, the Bucs are a quarterback away from being a contender. I agree with that. I think it's a great take. I might steal that from you, Greg Jennings. I think it's a great take.
Greg,
now on the Packers. I think the game's actually more important for the Packers because I think the Packers are playing for something different than the Bucs are. The Bucs are playing to try to find a way into the playoffs. The Packers are playing for the Super Bowl. For the only bye that's going to be had in the NFC this year with the changed playoff rules, seven teams, one bye. And as Brandon pointed out earlier and can elaborate on, they're trying to stack win after win after win, see how long they can stretch this undefeated streak to. One other point, though, for Green Bay, Brandon. Things have gone brilliantly for Green Bay this season, including one thing totally out of their control. And that is their kryptonite team last year is a mess. The Packers last season were 14-2 against the whole world except for San Francisco and 0-2 against San Francisco. And going into this year, one of the reasons I was not picking Green Bay to make the Super Bowl is I said, well, I don't know what they changed to be able to deal with San Francisco. Well, what might have changed is they ain't going to have to deal with San Francisco because San Francisco's not going to make the playoffs. So Green Bay's handling their business. The team that whooped them twice last year is a mess. And so I think Green Bay, they could lose this game and obviously still be in good position for the playoffs. But they need to run up at least 13 wins again if they're going to get the bye. So I think it's more important for Green Bay, Brandon.
Yeah, Greg, I don't know. I just put myself in both locker rooms as a player. To me, it's equally important for both of them. When you look at the Green Bay Packers, they're playing for something a little bit different. They're trying to separate themselves from the entire league. You know, and you guys did this back in the day. Y'all went on runs, man. And, you know, 4-0, you know, it's great. But 6-0, 7-0, 8-0, man, that's a different type of energy. That's a different type of swagger. And then when you look at Tampa, Tampa's trying to separate themselves from their division. They have the Saints at 3-2 and the Panthers at 3-2, who I really like. And no one's really talking about this team. They can be scary. They don't even have their best player on the field right now in Christian McCaffrey. So for me, it's equally important for both of these teams to go in there and get a win. It's going to be a really good game. You have the number two offense versus the number two defense. And Greg, you said that you think it's going to be won in the trenches in the run game. Well, I would say this is a Leonard Fournette game because when you look at the Green Bay Packers in their hole, It is their rush defense. They can't stop the run. So if I am Tampa, Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, I'm handing it off. Let them tote it 35 times, and you'll have a victory.
I'll address that. Well, they've been without Kenny Clark for a while. And so that's their man in the middle. That's their big run stopper. And so you get Kenny Clark back in the lineup, which they're hoping to have, and that kind of solidifies that issue. I want to jump back to Nick. Nick, you talk about the Green Bay Packers playing for something different, playing for the bye. I would say that that would be important if there were fans in the stadium. There are no fans right now. So the bye, to me, is not as relevant as it would be if there were some type of advantage. Aaron Rodgers can take this cadence and his approach to the non-fans and the decibel level that we're hearing on the road anywhere and be effective.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, listen, I don't – hold on.
So nobody.
I agree. Go ahead, Brandon. Go ahead.
Nobody – really quick. Nobody wants to play in a frozen tundra. I played in Chicago. We had to see you guys twice a year. Nobody want to play in the cold.
Real quick, Nick, quick. Let me give you a little secret. Because I played there too. We really didn't want to either. It was great for businesses around Green Bay, but we wanted to go somewhere warm as well. I'm just being honest. We won our Super Bowl on the road.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Great, and the 15-1 year when Tom Coughlin's nose almost broke off his face was in the frozen tundra and they came there and beat you. I get that part of it. The reason I'm focused on the bye is less about home field, less about crowds, and more about just skipping a playoff game. Just removing entirely the variance of one entire round of the playoffs. It's just such a massive statistical edge. Even if you're an 80% favorite, just removing that 20% chance you get bounced and removing all injury chance that week, Wilds, I just think it's a huge deal for whichever two teams get it in the AFC and the NFC.
Yeah, I buy that. Look, guys, it's been they played 37 combined seasons, Rodgers and Brady, 375 games. This is only their third matchup. We famously had a ton of Peyton versus Brady matchups, and it's always like, Brady beat Peyton. It's like, well, not really. Brady didn't play any defense. It's kind of like Patriots defense. But when you were playing, and you know you were going up against another wide receiver on the other team, were you specifically going into that game with a different mindset? Like, hey, I need to do something big here because I'm playing against whoever? Or was that just a media thing that's good for, like, the pregame teases?
I'll let Brandon answer that first. All right, well, I want to hear what he says.
Okay. Absolutely. Greg Jennings on the other side. We were drafted the same year, 2006. Greg Jennings going off 10 touchdowns a year. I was like, I got to keep up with Greg. Not only there, I'm looking at how much money Greg is making. Is he making, you know, $7? I need to make $8. 100% there's gains within the game.
I couldn't agree anymore. That is so true. You always kept tabs on what the next guy did, especially if you were going to see him across the field against your defense, especially if you had a defense that you knew wasn't that great in passing defense. It's like, man, he's going to have a good day, so I got to have an even greater
day. Hold on, Wilds. This is 2006 to 2009 when we were competing against each other, right? Like, we first got in the league. This is how in tuned I was with Greg Jennings, because I'm looking at him and Aaron Rodgers. Greg, you always started the season hot. For some reason, you were takeoff, league, top five in everything. And then those last five games, I would catch you. I don't know if it was the frozen tundra. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers started throwing it to Donald Driver. But, man, I used to pay attention to you every single year.
Okay, really quick nugget. Fitzy used to say the same thing to me. Those first 5, 6, 7 games, G, you're gone. And then I get you because it's getting a little cold. The ball is getting a little hard. Yeah. That's the effect of Lambo.
Larry Fitzgerald.
It's different.
That's great.
Well, if you guys had this sort of friendly competition, we always kept an eye out for each other, I would imagine that's
that's amplified with a guy like Rodgers and Brady. They may toe the company line and say it's just another game and they just want a team win. But for these two who have such historic careers, Brandon, how important is it? I mean, how badly does each want to beat the other one? Talk to me from a player's perspective.
Greg, you're closer to A-Rod than I am, but like I can speak for Tom Brady because it feels like we all know who he is. He has like that LeBron James mentality where he wants to be the best in every single category. So when you look at Tom Brady, he wants to have six rings, seven rings, eight rings. He wants to be the MVP. He also wants you to know that he's better than Peyton Manning. He's better than A-Rod. So for me, it matters. I think there's games within the games. A-Rod just went on a Pat McAfee show and was like, well, I play against their defense. He's going against our defense. It doesn't matter. I think it matters. I think it matters to A-Rod, but Greg, you may know better.
It definitely matters. It matters to both of them. And if we all know who Aaron Rodgers is, it matters to him. He wants to perform well. Ultimately, where he is within his team is he wants to walk away with the win. And I think that's even more of the space that Tom Brady is in. Because he knows statistically, I'm not going to be able to compete with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to be able to put up 300, 350 a game, 4-plus touchdowns every game. I might hit a hot streak in one game, maybe not against this defense, but to be able to compete like that against Aaron Rodgers, that's not Brady's lane any longer. But it is Aaron Rodgers' lane. He wants to do both. I know what makes him tick. But ultimately, whoever walks away with the win is going to feel really good.
That's good stuff. All right, Brady and Rodgers facing off for the third time in their storied careers. They have each won a game. We'll switch gears. Talk about what's going on or what's really going on with Michael Thomas down there in New Orleans. That's next. First things first. Back here talking about Michael Thomas, wide receiver for the Saints. It's been a tumultuous week for him, to say the least. He was fined and sat out Monday's game following a fight with a teammate during Saturday's practice. Now a new report from The Athletic that Thomas has, quote, too often crossed the line while communicating with coaches and team personnel. The report also saying Thomas was fined not just for the altercation, but more so based on his growing reputation for being difficult. Well, it didn't take long for Thomas to respond with a number of tweets. You ain't a snake, but they will make you. Then this, think what you want. I ain't trying to clear no rumors up. And then this in response to a question about his health. I was never healthy. I was just trying to help my team get a win and heal up during the bye. Had a setback, was so close, and I take my health seriously. Now I'm a bad guy, LOL. All right, there's a lot to unpack here. Brandon, I'll start with you. Is Michael Thomas an issue for the New Orleans Saints?
He can be. He can be. And let me start by saying this. I was there for a month. And, you know, probably the first week there on campus, I went to our wide receivers coach and I said, Coach, I'm telling you, I think this dude is the closest thing to me. When I played in New York, OBJ was close, but he was a little different. Like, OBJ was like superstar. And when I talked to our receiver coach in New Orleans, and what I was referring to was the intensity. You heard Coach Mangini yesterday talk about Jerry Rice, what made him great every single day. This was the standard. The bar was set up here. If you didn't come with it, the quarterback, coach, defensive back, everybody in the building is going to feel it. And that was Mike Thomas. He was locked in soon as he walked in the building, and I absolutely loved it. But week three, week four, I realized, like, man, this dude, he lives at that line. So I'm not surprised by this. I was a guy, my first 4 years of my career, I didn't live on the line. I crossed the line. So I would be good one day, and then when we got into these moments in practice, I didn't know how to communicate. I didn't have the skills. So I would immediately go to the other side, and guys like, man, this is Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or whatever the thing is. So that's how guys looked at me. Mike Thomas, he straddles that fence. And I think this could be a turning point for him. And he has to embrace this. Because you got to think about this. For the past 4 years, we haven't heard any stories. Everything's been great. Everything's great about Mike T. He's not that prima donna. But the reality is that intensity can sometimes push people away. Well, it could be a distraction. It could be detrimental to your team. So for me, seeing this, I love Mike Thomas, his tenacity. But you got to learn how to have that switch. And guys, I'm sorry to take it too far, but it took me 4 years to realize that. And in 2011, I was on the campus of McLean Hospital for 3 months. I was in an outpatient program where I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. I was in dialectical behavior therapy, mentalization therapy, self-assessment, cognitive behavior therapy to learn the skills and tools to be able to cope and manage stress or emotions. And guys in the NFL and NBA, when there's pressure on you every single day, you have to learn how to turn that switch on and off, because at the end of the day, it's about relationships. You can't rock the boat. And for Mike T, this could be a turning point for him, Nick.
So, all right, so there's a lot to unpack there. I thought about, because I knew your story before I knew you, is well documented, and it's one of the greatest success stories in the last 20 years in sports, because with respect, and I know you won't take this the wrong way, you're not just your career, your life could have gone one way.
Yeah.
And you got what you needed to make sure it went the other way. And I actually thought about it when we were talking about the racial justice protests, and you put on your Instagram video when you were racially profiled trying to get into your house and they called the cops on you. And I was watching it, I'm like, your ability to stay calm and your ability even in that moment, like you apologize for raising your voice. And I'm thinking, I'm like, man, I wonder what a decade ago, Brandon Marshall, how he would have dealt with this as opposed to right now. And I say that to say this. You saw, there was an odd moment this summer on Instagram. And it's going to seem like an odd connection to make. But when Michael Thomas flipped out on Devontae Parker for no reason, Fox NFL put up this poll. What's tougher, making a catch while guarded by Stephon Gilmore or breaking up a pass while guarding Michael Thomas? Devontae Parker, who's never tried to break up a pass from Michael Thomas but has been guarded by Gilmore, he writes A, meaning I'll go with it's tougher to be guarded by Gilmore. And Michael Thomas goes to the IG comments, we don't have to read them all, where he's like, essentially, this is why you're whack. This is why your career's been a failure. Keep my name out your mouth. Just flipped out on him. And I saw that, I'm like, man, this dude is high strung all the time. Yeah. Like, the old Cat Williams line, like, you're going to be banging at breakfast? Like, you're going to be eating your cereal being hard? Like, chill out. Like, take a deep breath. And so I do wonder, Brandon, if someone like you, who plays the same position, played with him briefly, and went through some real struggles, I think different than what he's going through, could
correct.
Explain
totally
it,
different.
Hey man, no matter how talented you are, this can go sideways in a hurry, no matter how great you are as a player.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say that for me, my emotions got the best of me off the field and on the field. And for him, it's on the field, right? So I think it's important for us to clarify that and say that, because he's not a bad kid. But Nick, you are 100% right. He is revved up all the time. Greatness is on his mind all the time. And it takes me back to 2011 when I first got to the Miami Dolphins. KO, our physical therapist, one of our team trainers, he walked in a training room one day and he gave me this piece of paper. And on this piece of paper it read, "Succeed with character." And that's it. He didn't say anything. And that was a defining moment in my life. I took that and I got it laminated, and I put it in every single locker for the next 8 years, because I was like, wow, like who am I to every year have 100 catches, to make it to a Pro Bowl, 6 Pro Bowls, do over $100 million in deals, but I have no relationships. I keep getting traded. And for me, that was a defining moment. And for him, I think that he can learn from this. He should learn from this. And the reality is, and the reason why it works in New Orleans, and this is going to be crazy to say this, but Drew Brees, Coach Payton, and Mike T is the same guy. They're the same guy, and that's why it works, and that's why they understand him, and that's why it's taken this long for them to understand, like, for this stuff to come out. But Drew Brees and Coach Thomas, Coach Peyton, know how to communicate. They know how to manage their emotions. And with Mike T, he's at 100 all the time, and that's good for him, and it's bad for him. Yeah, man, this is an interesting story. I love Mike. I just think that this could be a defining moment for him.
Brandon, I want to talk about social media because it's flared up in these last few weeks, right? Devontae Adams was tweeted something about, like, I guess the Packers know my body better than me, and then he deleted it. Le'Veon Bell the other day was liking tweets that said he should be traded, then they released him. And now Mike Thomas goes on a little Twitter rampage here. Like, social media was around when you were playing, but it didn't seem like it was at the heights it is right now.
No, it wasn't.
Is there just like a LeBron Zero Dark 30 thing? It's like, you know what? First step, there's a lot of things we can do to get on the path to be like totally on the straight and narrow, but like, let's just like not tweet. Let's just like get off social media. Is that, I know it might be too simplistic, but it feels like a step in the right direction.
Don't air your dirty laundry out in the streets. That's what that is, right? So for me, I always look at it. I can, you know, take football and sports out of it. I hate when I go on Instagram or Twitter and there's somebody like, oh, I just broke up with my boyfriend. My girlfriend. I erased all the pictures. It's like, come on, man. Like, are we going to do that there? And it's the same thing in sports. Like, just keep that in-house. It makes no sense to me. That's not what it's for. So I was always a guy. To me, I just looked at my teammates like this. Bosses don't move like that. We don't air our dirty laundry out like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you do that in the locker room. You come to me manny man and let's have those conversations. I just think it's a mistake because now you know, if you're going to tweet it and then delete it, then why you tweet it? You know, like, tweet it and leave it out there. Be a man. Don't go ahead.
But y'all get, for y'all today's generation, you know, for a y'all, lot of these guys, I know
Jenna.
We see that. It's their way of expressing themselves, and they don't have any other outlet. But you're absolutely right. Saints are on a bye this week, so they'll have a chance for Michael Thomas to rest up. All right, switch gears. New guard versus old guard in the AFC North. Baker and the Browns going up against Big Ben and those undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. It's must-watch football. We will must discuss football next. First things first. Talking some Le'Veon Bell now. I'm glad I made my point very clear. The recently released running back
Le'Veon Bell
now searching for a landing spot. A report came out last night that many people around the league view Knicks Chiefs as a strong potential landing place where Le'Veon could end up. Also Kansas City's Chiefs. Because that's what that offense is missing, another all-pro. Brendan, how would L. Bell impact Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense?
Oh, my goodness. Jenna, I've been trying to keep this conversation balanced since week one on the show. We all know Nick Wright's bias when it comes to his team. And I've been trying to just humble them and just keep them down. But if they get Le'Veon Bell, this is a problem, and I can no longer argue against Nick Wright. Forget Le'Veon, the running back. Let's think about Le'Veon, the receiver. Go back to when he was in Pittsburgh. Remember how we used to talk about, man, this guy can do everything. You line him up at X receiver, split him out. He's running a slant. He's running a 9-yard stop. He's running goes. He's adjusting on a back shoulder like he's DK Metcalf. 600 yards, 850 yards. His rookie year, 400 yards receiving. This guy is dangerous. And if he gets in that system with Andy Reid and Mahomes, I can't imagine how they'll use him. This is dangerous. Nick, I hope you don't go there because I want to continue to argue with you when it comes to the Chiefs.
Okay. So oddly enough, I also hope he doesn't go there. And that's not a knock on Le'Veon. So let me explain this. First of all, they just spent a first-round pick on a luxury item. They could have drafted a corner. They could have drafted a linebacker, which they ended up doing in the second round. They could have drafted an offensive lineman, which we're seeing now they needed. They spent money on Kelechi Osemele, but he blew out both of his knees, unfortunately, this past Sunday. Instead, they went with the shiny toy of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And it seems fun and it seems awesome. But if you're going to do that and then all of a sudden knock him down the depth chart,
I don't think that is the best way to get the most out of him long term. That's first of all. And second of all, and this is something where I think Brandon's head's going to explode when I say this. And old school football folks are going to hate this take. But I've watched every snap the Chiefs have played for, well, I don't know, 25 years. But most notably the last few Patrick Mahomes years. You know what? If there is something wrong with the Chiefs this year, you know what I think it is? They're running the ball a little too much. They are trusting their running game a little too much. That they are first and 10. Really? They're like, oh, let's hand it off. Let's get him go. Yeah. They are that because they have what they think could be a really good running back, they are handing the ball off to him instead of letting Patrick Mahomes do Patrick Mahomes things. And if you bring in Le'Veon Bell,
make them dangerous?
He's not just a slot receiver. I know in theory, I know you're going to hate this take.
Guys,
and you're going to
You guys You're haven't had a running game since Priest Holmes. You. Well, no, you, then you no,
yeah.
you
had yeah, the, I don't you had really want guy. A running game.
No, you had, yeah, you guys
I
have some
really,
good
Larry
years.
Johnson,
you don't
too.
Want a running
game? I know, Larry Johnson, Priest Holmes, I don't want a running game. I really don't. I'm not interested in it. It's wasted downs. And I feel like I really don't want a running game. I understand it's controversial and people are going to say I'm wrong, but I don't want them to have, like, right now, let me tell you this. So the only reason I'm even somewhat open to it, Wilds, again, you guys can say I'm wrong. Le'Veon as a receiver is intriguing to me. If Derrick Henry were released right now, I would not want the Chiefs to pick him up. I'm not interested in them running the ball between the tackles.
So dynamic.
I'm you're leaving? Wilds, you're leaving?
You guys may
Why
have to.
That's a terrible take. Well, you're hurting the integrity of the show. That's an outrage. If Derrick Henry was released, you wouldn't want Derrick Henry. Stiff arming guys into oblivion. No. You don't want Derrick Henry. Yeah.
I don't.
I talked about Le'Veon as a wide receiver, but you guys may need him as a running back because you guys are struggling to protect your guy when he drops back. They're number two in the league and giving up pressure on the quarterback. Number two. So if you want this guy to last and be healthy at the end of the year, the best player in the NFL, then you need to continue to lean on that run game. Now, you lost Assimilate. You lost him. You just talked about that. That's a big blow for you guys. He just got back to where he was in Baltimore. In Baltimore, he was one of the most premier guards in the game. And then he had a rough year. Now he got back, and then he had this terrible injury, injuries to both knees. So it's hurting you guys. But I'd rather lean on the running game just a little bit more so I can protect my quarterback who's worth $500 million.
Go ahead, Wilds.
So, I'm thinking about if I want
no.
him in the Patriots.
Jenna, you said no.
I'm torn. No, because I'm torn. Because here's why. If I'm Le'Veon Bell, and I'm about to go, I'm released. I can choose where I want to go. Right? It's I'm not being traded. I can pick. And
correct.
My Jets are paying $6 million. And I'm going to be on the minimum or whatever. I kind of look long term. But I need to cook, right? That's one reason Cam
Boring.
Went to the Patriots and specifically said, I don't want to be a backup. It's like, all right, if you come to the Patriots, right. Cam, we'll start you. You can cook. We're going to throw the ball around. If I'm Le'Veon Bell and I was with the Jets and I never broke a 20-yard run over 260-something carries and I never had a 100-yard game, I'm like, I want to go somewhere to cook. So I don't know. This is a crazy idea. Like, do I just, like, wait back and be like, I don't even care. That sounds dumb, though. But, like, I care more about production long-term than I do about, like, getting into a
that's
winning
a
environment where I'm getting 10 carries
that's
a
not
game. Does
wild.
That make sense,
that
Brandon?
Doesn't sound dumb.
That's a good
that
take.
That makes a ton of sense.
No, okay,
that doesn't
selfish,
sound dumb at all.
Yeah, because as
right
a player, because you got to think about from a business perspective as a player, if he doesn't have another productive year, his career is over. No one's going to give him a minimum wage,
correct.
Right?
Oh,
like,
geez.
No one's going to pay this guy. So it does make a lot of sense, Wilds, for him to go somewhere where he can cook and he can produce because this guy just had two bad years. It's not all his fault. It was a terrible fit from the beginning. They was doomed from the beginning. So that's a good take.
Yeah, well, and the Wilds, to that point, if you got LeSean McCoy on Truth Serum, I wonder what he'd say about his time with the Chiefs last year.
That's
he got released, he's going to go to Kansas City, and he did win a ring, but he didn't play much. He was a healthy scratch throughout the playoff run, and now he's the third or fourth back for Tampa, and his career's probably coming to a close, which is why for L. Bell, I do think your Patriots might be the best spot because you have at least the chance of winning. Plus, he would be used a lot.
No,
but I think this is one that Vegas has right. But real quick, I think Vegas says Chicago, and I do think he would get that workload you're talking about, Wilds, in Chicago. Yep. And they are 4-1. Like, it's not like that's a terrible team, Jenna.
Yep.
So I do think Chicago maybe kind of threads the needle there.
But there's also this thought that after sitting a year out, basically, he did try to go somewhere to cook, right? Like, he went to the Jets, where they had an unproven yet quarterback. And he was supposed to have the resurgence of his career, but he couldn't. You know, when he wanted to prove to people why he was holding out in Pittsburgh. So he went to a team where he could cook. Right, it was happened to be the wrong system, but you're saying he should do it again. I don't think it's such a terrible idea, although that's exactly what it seems like he just came from.
Well, you got to look at Adam Gase. Adam Gase never wanted him from the beginning. That was the GM McCagnan's pick. He forced that on Adam. Adam came from Denver. Yeah. He wanted to recreate what they did in Denver with Peyton Manning. What they did there, they leaned on 2 to 3 running backs. That's how Adam's system is built. Le'Veon is a guy that he needs to be in there on first, second, and third down. He's more than capable of being out there all three downs, and that is the issue. So going to Chicago, Nagy does a great job of using his running backs out in space, but he hasn't been able to establish the run the past 2 years. So this could be a great fit for both sides. You can have him cooking. The running game finally get going in Chicago. Le'Veon extends his career. Chicago is a good fit.
And Jenna, as far as him going to the Jets to cook, as we have seen over the last decade, if you let Adam Gase in your kitchen without Peyton Manning as the executive chef, the thing's going to burn down and nobody's going to cook. There's going to be a grease fire here. There's going to be a...
You know that's my ex-wide receiver there. Coach. Stop it.
You know,
Adam Gase?
Can I real quick, before we go to... Listen,
I don't know when it was, I assume it was your worst years. Whatever years Brandon Stats dipped, I'm guessing that was it.
Goodness.
I had 100 catches.
I'll tell my story another time. 4-1 Chiefs, 4-1 Bills, Monday night. What do you get when you pit the best against the best? You get America's Game of the Week, talking Brady and Rodgers. It's next.
You burnt the
Sunday on Fox, the showdown of showdowns. Aaron Rodgers leading the undefeated Packers against Tom Brady and the Bucs. How about that? Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. It all kicks off Sunday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area. All right, time now for stories to start your morning. Sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve, and it was a tumultuous week for Saints receiver Michael Thomas. He was fined and sat out Monday's game following a fight with a teammate during Saturday's practice. And now a new report from The Athletic that Thomas has too often crossed the line while communicating with coaches and team personnel. The report also saying Thomas was fined not just for the altercation, but more so based on his growing reputation for being difficult. Well, it didn't take long for Thomas to respond with a series of tweets. You got this, he ain't a snake, but they will make you. Then he posted, think what you want, I ain't trying to clear no rumors up. And then this in response to a question about his health. I was never healthy. I was just trying to help my team get a win and heal up. During the bye, had a setback, was so close, and I take my health serious. Now I'm a bad guy, LOL. All right, there's a lot here. Brandon, let's start with you. Is Michael Thomas an issue for the Saints? Because we really haven't heard this unless they've kept this in-house. Is he an issue?
That's right. 100%. I mean, obviously he's an issue. You know, these things just don't happen overnight. You know, teams do a really good job of keeping things in house, keeping things in the locker room. And you also got to look at the dynamic between Coach Peyton, Drew Brees, and Mike Thomas. When I was there, I saw three of the same guys, super intense, locked in, always just everything's about winning. And Mike, though, you know, he straddles the fence, you know, and I think about myself, like I didn't straddle the fence. I was like away from the fence, and then all of a sudden something can happen on the field and I could cross the line. Mike straddles it, and I think because they all understand who he is and they do a good job of keeping things in house, you know, they know how to manage him. But it's getting to a point now where they have to say something. They have to do something. And it's about emotions. For me, I just didn't know how to manage my emotions. I didn't know how to deal with the different stressors that come up every single day when it comes to competing and working with 80 different people in a locker room, coaches, support staff, trainers. Like, I had to go to McLean Hospital for 3 months in an outpatient program, take dialectical behavior therapy, mentalization therapy, cognitive behavior therapy, self-assessment to learn how to deal with these things, because there's some guys that walk around revved up all the time, and that's Michael Thomas. Yep. Now, he doesn't deal with anything off the field. I think his struggle is more about on the field and his chase for greatness. Coach Mangini talked about it yesterday. He said what made Jerry Rice great was every day Jerry Rice was practicing like he was going to get cut. That is Mike T. When I was there for a month, the very first week, I walked up to our receiver coach and I said, "Coach, I think this is the closest thing to a young Brandon Marshall." And I loved it. And what I was seeing was every single day, this guy was so intense. And I saw some things where I was like, you know, I haven't seen him cross that line yet, but I can see how it can possibly get there. Just to give you an example of how intense this guy is, the day of a game playing against the Philadelphia Eagles, we're in the Ritz-Carlton, in the ballroom. We have a walkthrough, and a walkthrough is literally just take a couple steps, show Drew, show Coach Payton that you know your position. So everybody's going through their assignment. They're lining up correctly, and we're just walking. Drew doesn't even have a ball. Mike Thomas is running full speed in sandals. Drew is smiling after every play. Coach Payton is smiling after every play. I'm looking around because I'm the new guy there. I'm like, is this how he is every single day? They said, "Brandon, this is Mike T." And I say all that to say this: Mike, this could be a turning point for you because you're revved up all the time, and that's great. But a guy in Miami, KO, once told me, he slipped me a note when I came into practice one day. He said, and on this piece of paper said, "Succeed with character." And that changed the trajectory of my career, because I thought about that and I said, it makes no sense to have 100 catch seasons year after year, make 6 Pro Bowls, do $100 million in football contracts, and not be liked by my teams, not be liked by the guys that I take the field with. And for Mike, I think you need to really lean into this, because what makes you great is making you also weak and is also getting the best of you. So to me, this is a turning point for Mike.
So, Brandon, I think it's really interesting, because sometimes, you know, what makes you great ends up causing your demise, right? We see that's a story in life and in sports we see all the time. And the guys who can thread the needle of it are the ones who are the most successful. The stories you tell about Michael Thomas, they remind me a lot about the famous stories about Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett, who would get so revved up in games, he's headbutting the basketball stanchion. He's in a full dripping sweat from his pregame workout. But he was able to keep that in bounds, right? And he was able to channel it. And even though he was, according to people who know him, he's a high-strung, high-intensity guy, whether he's playing basketball or still watching Making the Band, you know, no matter what, he is able to keep it within the lines. For Michael Thomas, and this is going to sound, you know, almost silly, but there was a moment this summer on Instagram that I took note of, because I remember saying we should talk about it on the show, and that was Devontae Parker responds to a poll. What's harder, being defended by Stephon Gilmore or breaking up a pass with Michael Thomas? And Devontae Parker says, option A, going up against Gilmore. And Michael Thomas, you don't have to read all those. You can go back and look at it. Just eviscerates him. Basically says, this is why you're a bum. This is why your career's been a failure. This is why you were a first-round pick and haven't done your whole career what I did last year. And it's like, bro, he wasn't even coming at you. Like, it's not like he was mocking you, coming at you.
And it just, that was a note to me. And then when you hear, Brandon, that it's not just that he punched a teammate. It's that after punching a teammate, he didn't want to apologize. He came at the coaches. He then goes to Twitter and says, basically says, I don't know who the they is, but, you know, they're snakes. This is somebody who is having trouble dialing it back. And I get maybe that's part of why he's been as great as he is on the field. But there's a lot of cautionary tales of guys who couldn't dial it back when they needed to and, you know, got moved when they shouldn't have been or things didn't go right for him.
Listen, I wish I was in my prime when I was in New Orleans, because he's the guy I would want to play with. And he's also the guy that I think that I could possibly help and just share my stories and my failures in those first 4 years of my career and say, bro, you don't want to make these mistakes. Because at the end of the day, when this is all said and done, it's about those relationships. These coaches, these players, you know, that's what's going to really matter. Yes, we want to take care of our family, but man, don't burn these bridges. I saw it every single day. He's a good kid. He just wants to be great. He is great. He wants to compete. I saw this guy in that walkthrough in Ritz-Carlton, in that ballroom, run full speed in flip-flops. I saw him every single day walk into the wide receiver room with no smile on his face and just say, how are y'all going to get me the ball so I can help us win? And I'm looking around. I'm looking at Ted Ginn. I'm looking at Ron Curry, our assistant wide receiver coach. I'm like, is this the level he's at every single day? They say, yes. That's the only thing on his mind is about winning. When I first got there, we had a great relationship. I said, Mike, let's go to dinner. He said, man, I'm sorry, but I'm watching film, and I watch film every night. And that's who he is. And he just needs to learn how to dial it back and turn that switch on and off. He can do that. He'll be fine, and this will be a great turning point for him.
Well, the Saints have a bye this week, so it'll be a chance for that New Orleans whole organization to figure out what's happening. All right, let's talk about it. Two teams who don't have byes this week, and we couldn't be happier about it. America's Game of the Week, Packers, Bucks. Remember, both coming into the season with Super Bowl aspirations. Only the undefeated Packers, though, have looked and played the part. So, Nick, let's jump in. Is this game more important for Rodgers and the Packers or Brady and the Bucks?
I'm going to go Rodgers and the Packers because I think they are the Super Bowl favorites right now in the NFC. And they are in such a great position, Brandon, because of what they're doing, but also because of things outside of their control. Yeah. They're undefeated. They're playing well on both sides of the ball. Seattle, on the other hand, they got to figure that defense out. They have to. And the team that whooped them twice last year, Green Bay, that whooped Green Bay, San Francisco, is a mess, is injured, and is not going to make the playoffs. And so if you're Green Bay, you got to stack wins and give yourself the best chance possible for the one and only bye in the NFC this year. So, Brandon, I say Green Bay, it's more important for them.
Really quick here, Wilds. I think it's equally important for both teams for two different reasons. The Green Bay Packers, to your point, Nick, they're trying to separate themselves from everyone in the NFL. And then when you look at Tampa, they're trying to separate themselves from everyone in their division. The Panthers and Teddy B, 3-2. And then the Saints is also at 3-2. So I think it's equally important for both.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more important for Brady. 37 combined seasons, 375 games between them. Brady famously played and got the best of Peyton Manning. They played 12 times. I really want to see Brady sort of, they're tied at 1-1. This will be a third game. I just want to see Brady go 2-1 on Aaron Rodgers, Jenna.
And say what you will, these two guys want to go up against each other. I'm sure they want to beat each other. Thanks, everyone. That's it for us.